This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello.
You're right.
Welcome back.
That was the news and weather. And welcome back to the second part of this week's Business Bunker show. We've got another great guest to talk to you shortly. But in the meantime, I think you can, well, you can surprise me. You can read a tweet or you can read an email.
Now, there's a challenge. Yeah. I just wanted to say about the news. I think there was actually no mention of Brexit on that news, which was
really
quite shocking.
Have they made a mistake? Did they forget?
Do you know what I heard with Brexit? That because we may have problems with food, which is always my one weakness. Apparently America have offered to send us, when we leave Brexit,
chlorine soaked chicken. Don't get involved in all that nonsense.
Chlorine soaked chicken.
Anybody would think it was compulsory that you have to eat what people sell you. It's ridiculous. It's the most, that of all the stupid things I've heard about Brexit, that is probably
this?
The stupidest. Yeah.
Had you heard it already?
Well, yeah. The Americans chlorinate their chicken. Yeah. The fact that the Dutch chlorinate some of their food, their salad, doesn't seem to bother anybody. But if you don't like chlorinated chicken, don't eat it. Is the easy answer to that?
As you know, I have a river
buy an English chicken or a French chicken or any other nationality of chicken. If you don't want an American one, don't buy it. It's a simple answer. It's not compulsory.
No, exactly. But I am stockpiling some of my vitamins.
Are you? You're stockpiling vitamins.
I am. It's going to be a
problem. you wouldn't want to run out, would you?
My selenium. Can't live without selenium, Tracy. Now, Paul, here's one that will interest you. You're probably comparing this. We have an International Women's Day event, Paul Andrews.
Exactly.
Are you going?
No.
Because I've got a nice little tutu you could wear.
Well, funny you should say that. There's a reason I'm not going, but we'll come to that later.
Friday the 8th of March. It's 9:30 to 4 p.m. It's at the Port Lim Hotel and Reserve, Nature Reserve in High, so you might have a little lion walking around at the event.
Oh, have you seen the Lion Lodge there?
No, I've never been.
Oh, boy.
I have been to Africa, but I've never been to Highs. So I must go. Anyway, they have an amazing panel of women. This is organised by the amazing butterfliesevents.co.uk, and you can find details of it. I'll give them to you in a minute. So the panel members that they've got, who are ready to share their experiences and expertise on Friday the 8th of March. They have Jane Michaud, a little bit French.
Yep.
She's the Director of Fundraising at the Aspinall Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Melanie Blythe, who is Head of UK Fleet Solutions at Shell. Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, owner of Orchard Employment Law, who will give lots of advice on employment law. Frankie Cont, who is the primate keeper at Port Lim.
In
case you want to have a little monkey, you know, she'll tell you how to do it. Lucy Whitmore, who's the retail partnership director at Cardalytics. Tell me what Cardalytics is, do you know?
Oh, what?
Are you paying attention?
Yes, Cyberlytics.
Cardalytics. Cardlytics.
I believe.
Sounds like something to do with hearts.
No. What's her name again?
It's Lucy Whitmore.
I believe they may be a cyber security firm. I'm not sure.
Interesting.
I'm not sure.
Okay. And Emma Shaw, who's the managing director of Esoteric, which is a counter espionage.
Oh, no, sorry. That's the counter espionage people.
Okay.
Then I'm not sure about the other
lady. You'll have to go.
Yeah. I can't go. I'll tell you why in a minute.
You're babysitting. For Bear. You'll also have a chance to have your say, ask questions and discuss the topics that matter to you. And of course, a visit to Port Lim would not be complete without experiencing the beauty of Port Lim, meeting the animals and finding out more about the amazing work carried out by the Aspinall Foundation. And they will be going on a safari through African and Asian experience to discover more. All this, plus some fun networking activities, a delicious lunch, and the chance to inspire and learn from other women in business. Tickets are just £45 for the full day, including all activities and lunch, and all profits will be donated to the Aspinall Foundation. So to find out more, go to www.butterflies, that's F-L-I-E-S, the butterflies, events.co.uk www.iwdevent.
And I've just had a telepathic message to say that the lady that you mentioned from Cardalytics, they are a technology company.
Okay, very interesting. Not a heart company, as I thought. I was thinking cardio.
Cardiology, you know, I got that.
It's nice that Amanda's listening.
It is, yeah. And it's Amanda that's organising that event, which is on Friday, which means that she won't be doing her radio show this Friday.
So you're doing
which
it.
Which means I'm doing it, which is why I'm not going to Port Lym.
Okay. Mm. So who are your guest presenters?
On Friday, on the Business Bunker Extra Show, I will tell you again later, the co-host is lovely Mark Goldfinch.
Oh, yeah?
And our guest is Soti Coker. And Soti actually won the speakers event that Amanda organised last year.
Well done. Mm. So
so that will be on Friday at 11, but I'll tell you about that later.
I'm sure you will. There's, do you want me to read something else? Or are we gonna
well, in a minute, I'm going to read one.
All right.
I said earlier when we were talking about today's show sponsor, the lovely folks at ZC Social Media,
yeah.
About the ZC Live. So it's a free social media event. Again, totally free to attend. Yeah, that's the first thing to say. The ZC Live is back. It's on the 31st of May, and the ZC team are super excited and have lined up an amazing agenda, which will be revealed over the coming weeks. There's a free ticket, and you can reserve your free ticket by going to eventbrite.co.uk/ZC Live 2019. It's at the Strood Academy. As I say, it's on the 31st of May. And I happen to know, because I was talking to Zoe about this the other day, they haven't even announced it yet because they haven't finished the lineup of speakers, and they've already had 250 people book tickets.
Well,
it's going to be a mega event. I think last year, I might be making this up, Zoe, forgive me if I'm wrong. I think there was somewhere in the region of 500 people there last year. And it was a fabulous event last year, and it's going to be even bigger and better and fabulouser this year. ZC Live 2019. Use the hashtag ZC Live if you want to get involved. And then Eventbrite, ZC Live 2019 for the tickets. Go for it. What you got?
Okay, so Venues and Events Expo Southeast. It's at the Kent Event Centre, Thursday the 9th of May, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's a one-day exhibition for event professionals, venue finders, PAs, VAs, and business owners who want to connect with amazing venues and great suppliers. And I'm going to give you the email for this, sorry, the website for this in a tick. And they say, whether you're organising a business event, a meeting, a seminar, a conference, a workshop, team building, or a corporate party, you'll find everything you need in one place. They have a variety of talks from industry experts covering mental health, well-being, sustainability, social media, speakers and event tech, and also some fun and informative workshops. There's over 100 venues and event suppliers from the southeast to meet. And to find out more, go to venues events expo.co.uk to book your free place. And it's Thursday the 9th of May, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. So that sounds great. It's a buzzing trade show environment there.
I want to say a huge congratulations to Keith Mabbott and Fran Borman of Goal 17 Global. Goal 17 Global is a training company working with young homeless people, and they have just won the National Mentoring Award.
Wow.
National Mentoring Award.
Where are they based, Paul?
They're based at K Sports, just outside Maidstone. And they won the Sports Mentoring Award category at the National Mentoring Awards 2019. I may have got this wrong. I think it took place in Manchester, but they won the national award anyway for their mentoring scheme, supporting young homeless people via sport into work, not just in sport, but in all kinds of areas. But so huge congratulations to Keith and Fran for winning that award, and thoroughly deserved it is too.
Yeah,
it
I've
is,
met Keith. Yeah. He's a guy full of energy. So
he certainly
well
is,
done,
yeah.
Well done, Keith. If you're yeah. listening,
I got a little dig that I'm going to have at Keith, right?
Oh yeah.
Because
okay.
back last year, they invited me and a number of other people over a long period of time to play football. Okay.
You love football.
Yeah, yeah. Now hold on. Okay, to play football against the people that were on their program, and there was a series of football challenges which they videoed. Okay. And there were 13 weeks of this, so they videoed people playing all of these sports, okay? And I was the very last one. I was the 13th. And they've never showed the video.
Oh.
And there's a reason.
Oh.
There's a reason. Because they won the first 12. But guess who won the 13th? Go on, guess. Go on, guess. Go on, guess. It was me.
Yeah, yeah. You are a really good footballer.
No. I was.
I remember.
I was half okay. Yeah.
But when I, do you remember when I organised that event with Hilda Marie Smith?
In Faversham, yeah, yeah.
And you were in the, rolling about on the football team. And I said, dinner is served. And you were just, I couldn't get you off the pitch.
No, exactly.
You do love football.
Yeah, at my age, not anymore. But, and football certainly doesn't love me. I mean, the funniest thing was I played in a football tournament a couple of years ago in Sevenoaks. And my kids came to watch. And both my kids are really good sportsmen as well. And they both stood there shaking their heads going, the trouble with you, Dad, is you know how to play football. You just can't.
And
it's very true because it can get quite dangerous because your brain goes, I know what to do with that. And all of a sudden your body's not there and you've pulled something that wasn't pullable or whatever.
I found it that this is the thing with the age gap. My new husband's 13 years younger than me. And when Gordon Banks died, you know, he just didn't know about Gordon Banks and Bobby Moore and, you know, all of those amazing players. And what was George Best?
Mm.
Just that whole era of footballers who were not loaded. They didn't have pots of money and they kind of more or less had a kind of more normal life.
The famous George Best joke was from there. It was a young lad who was a Manchester United supporter, was a porter or something in a hotel where George Best was staying. And he went in to clean George's room in the morning and he was laying on the bed, spark out, drunk, with Miss World in bed next to him and money all over the bed. And he just looked at him and went, George, where did it all go wrong?
Yeah, George and Miss World, that would be very glamorous.
Yeah.
But Gordon Banks.
Yeah, fantastic.
What a goalie. I
mean, absolutely.
Incredible. And I'm not really into football, but, that era was incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're talking to Tracy now.
Let's talk to Tracy. Let's talk to somebody sensible. We've had enough wobbling between you and I. It's about time we talk to Tracy. Tracy is from Travel International. And I last time you were on, Tracy, I don't know if I asked you this, where the name Travel came from.
Well...
Or because you just can't spell.
No.
Because I at first thought, oh, it's a travel agency. Where are we going?
Everybody thinks that. No, it's basically, my husband is called Volker, which is V-O-L-K-E-R.
Where's he from?
Germany.
Volker, I was going to say Polish. Volker, okay.
Volker, yeah. So it's
Does
kind
he
of,
wear lederhosen?
Sometimes. But not in public.
only on a Friday night.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's got the legs for it. No, it's the combination of our names, but also we travel all the time for work. So it's kind of a combination of travel.
No, I get it. I get it. Yeah.
Tracy and
Volker. Yeah, no, I get it. And why not? Funnily enough, just completely on that, I've got a blog at the moment on, it's actually on payment systems, but the name of the company is Sony or Sohi or something like that. And they're Swedish. And I said, where do you get the name from? And they went, oh, actually, we couldn't think of a name for ages and ages and ages. And we got to the point, we were driving to the accountants to register the name and we still didn't have a name. And it was just the name of the road that the accountants were on, so we picked that.
I've heard some funny stories about why people give their companies the names they do.
Yeah.
It's not always completely planned.
Yeah, no, exactly. Anyway, enough of that. Why don't you tell us about...
After
the show.
Yeah, she's getting all carried away again. Yeah, as soon as you mention anything exotic, she's off. Tell us what Travel does and the kind of work that you and Volker are involved in.
Okay, so it's quite varied. Our background is that we're both, we work with software in consulting and training. I'm qualified to teach and train at post 16, so colleges, not school kids, but older people. And Volker's actually a lawyer, qualified in law, but chose to do something different, which comes back to the whole thing about university and then ending up doing something completely different. But we've worked together in software for a long time, and both of us, before we even met, worked in training and software. And we basically support companies with their software systems, which mainly tends to be accounting and job costing for creative agencies that we work with a lot. But also what I do personally is I help people set up internal training programs within their organization.
Ooh, right, okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so lots of people will bring in a trainer from a software company, let's say, to train on the software. But they forget their systems, their processes, their internal training needs. Yep. And there's the focus on, okay, when somebody new starts, we'll train them on the job. But do they actually know exactly what to train them on, how to train it, and do they, or do they just sit them next to someone and say, teach them?
That's a really interesting thing, isn't it? Because, you know, with quite a lot of software packages, you know, there's the technicalities of the package itself. But what people don't always think about is, you know, you can go, well, you know, the A is connected to the D, which if you push this button, is connected to the F or whatever. But that doesn't tell you how it fits into the processes of the company that you're working in.
Exactly. Yeah?
And a lot of us, you know, adapt things, have a different way of working. Dare I say it, we even fudge sometimes the things that software programmers do just to fit the way that we work.
Yeah. And a lot of software companies, obviously, when you go and do an implementation of software into a company, you want it to work for them, but what you need to do is understand their processes and make sure that the software works for them, not the other way around.
Exactly.
And so many people that we see are adapting their processes to fit the software instead of the other way around. But it's not just software. It's any type of business. If you have staff working for you, you want them to feel valued and supported. You want to make sure that you get the best from them. And if you don't fulfill people's needs to better themselves and develop in their roles and succeed, and, you know, we all like to think that we're doing well.
Yep.
If you don't do that, then they're going to go and find that somewhere else. And there's a lot of people that go start a job and they're just sat with somebody who is supposed to teach them the job. But what you really need to do is take a step back and think, okay, what are our internal processes? Yeah. What do we do? What does each role involve?
Yeah.
And so many organizations have a key person that carries out a role. And if that person walks out the door, there's nobody that knows what that person does. So you need to map it all out. You need to have...
Or if that person's just ill for a while.
Exactly.
Without being funny, many, 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 many years ago, prehistorically, I worked for a very well-known bank.
Goldman Sachs?
No, it wasn't Goldman.
Oh, it's not.
I did work for Goldman Sachs, but it was before Goldman Sachs even. And I worked for a bank, and I worked in technology. And I left the bank, on... kind of not very happy circumstances. We had a big falling out and I left. And about 3 months later, they rang me and they went, "Oh, you wouldn't come talk to us, would you?" And I went, "Why?" And I went, "We can't work anything since you left. Can you come back and explain how to do it?" Maybe. And so it can be a very dangerous thing to leave someone that knows your processes without having somebody else that does. Yeah.
And if you do it in a structured way, I mean, first thing that I do when I'm helping people is, you know, I don't need to understand the job that everybody does to do what I do. I need to use the knowledge that the people in the organization have and then help them to structure and create a program.
I was going to ask you how you did that, because obviously you can't know every single package and every single process on the market in order to train it. So that's an interesting. So go over that again, Tracy. Tell us when you've got a new client or a new project that you're going to work on, what's the process you go about in terms of doing that?
Well, first of all, you need to sit down with the key people. And when you're talking about internal training, that's usually the senior person in the organisation, the HR manager, and the key people from each department, so they know what those roles entail. That's the initial discussions. But as it progresses on, then you're bringing the people on the ground in to get their knowledge. But what you're actually doing is helping them to understand what they do as an organization, to map that out and to understand what needs training and to who, and, you know, tie it in with the appraisal process, tie it in with career progression, and you carry out an analysis of who needs training what with them. And then you put it together, you break it down into sections and build modules.
Do you ever find, though, when you start that process, a lot of them go, "I'm not really sure why we do that"?
Yeah, absolutely.
And well, we used to do.
Yeah, you know, we've always done it like that. Yeah,
and
that's
where the consulting comes in, because you can say to them, "Well, if you did this, this, and this, then perhaps you could achieve efficiencies," and you can rule out lots of duplication of effort by, you know, doing things in a structured way, in a different way.
Yeah.
So it's all about business analysis, understanding what an organisation does. But the key thing is, you know, coming back to the apprenticeship thing, when somebody goes to university, they come out of university, they're highly qualified, they're
with £46,000.
Huge debt, yeah. But it's getting that job. And I know personally myself lots and lots of people that have done a degree in a subject and they end up working in a completely different area or they can't get a job at all.
Well, one of the problems with that is that the politicians, in order to make it seem viable, told people that the debt wasn't a problem because when they came out of university, they would walk into a high-paying job, and that was not true.
No, because people want experience. They they don't just want textbook knowledge.
A university degree is a valuable thing, but it is just theory. It's a set of theories. You know, I would not let a doctor with a degree in medicine just out of university open my brain and perform an operation on my brain. I'd much rather it done by a vet, to be honest, because they've got no experience of doing it.
Exactly.
And the problem was that we told graduates that they could walk into a 40K job when they left. Now, some do, but it's a vanishingly small number. And that is where the problem sets in, because a lot of younger people leaving university made themselves virtually unemployable based on what they had been told. So they wouldn't take a job for 25 grand because they go, no, I've got a degree, I've got 2-1, and I can earn 40 grand. No, they can't.
But the other side of it is I have known employers that will only interview somebody if they have a degree. And it doesn't matter what that degree's in even. They've got a degree. So it shows that they can apply themselves. It shows lots of qualities in a person. Yeah. But there's no substitute for experience. And when you bring someone into your organisation, if you mentor them and nurture them, whatever age it's at, whether they be a young person starting in an apprenticeship, whether they be an older person, whatever it is. I worked for a software company for some time as internal training manager, and we had people coming in. They were going to be either a trainer or they were going to work on the help desk. Or we also had, obviously, developers come in, technical support people, all sorts of roles. And I put together a training program that we worked together through a period of, I think, 3 months virtually every day. And they did some time with me on training and sometime they were on the help desk or in the training department. But they were getting a mixture of theory and practical. And all the way through that, you're assessing, you're understanding, you know, if one person's a bit ahead of another, if you've got a group, you can actually mentor them, and they felt supported. They, you know, the times I've had tears, you know, I'm never going to get this. I'm never going to get this.
Because we all learn in different ways.
Exactly. And when you study, when I did my teaching qualification, you study the psychology of learning and the way that people take in information. And it's so different for different people.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's about recognizing that and understanding what this person needs compared to what that person
I'm a very
needs.
Visual person when I learn, and I have to do it. Actually do it physically to learn.
And you take on more when you do it than when you just watch anyway. But you know, you learn about the theorists and things in and it's very fascinating about the way people learn. But I'm absolutely passionate about training people, and even if someone's been in a role for 10-15 years, you know, there's this common concept, well, they don't need any training, they know their job. But do your systems and your processes never ever change? You know, everything changes with time. And if people value their staff and invest in a training program, the staff are happier, they're more contented, they're more efficient, your organization prospers, and also your customers. You know, if I go into a shop, for example, and the people in there don't really know what they're talking about, I'm probably going to go to a different shop next time. So it reflects on you as an employer, how you train your staff and how you mentor them and
absolutely.
Nurture them. And as an employer, how many times do we employ somebody and then it doesn't work out for whatever reason, and we start the whole process again? And recruitment is expensive. So
absolutely,
you know, get it right, get that structure in place, train people, and then you can also identify quickly if there is something that isn't going to work out, or if, you know, if someone's got prospects to move on quickly.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because you still, not as much as once upon a time, but you still get employers that say, yeah, but the trouble is if I invest in training my staff, they're going to leave. And my answer to that is, if you don't invest in training for your staff, they're going to stay. and that could be worse.
But also, if you invest in training your staff, but then there aren't any opportunities for career progression or some kind of, you know, acknowledgement of that, then that's another issue. But you want people to progress. You want to have a career path. You want people to feel valued and you want them to stay with you. If you train them, they're not necessarily going to leave, only if they're in a job where they're just, you know, stuck doing the same thing. But you need to keep making things, you know.
I mean, as much as anything, it's making people feel valued.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's an interesting psychological experiment that happened many years ago, back in the 50s. It's just weird. Frederick Taylor, one of the pioneers of management by objectives. But he went into a car plant in Detroit, which was underperforming. And he took one part of the assembly line and he, as an experiment, changed everything about it. He painted the walls bright colours. He put padded cushions on the seats that they were using. He put a breakout area there, you know, so it became less of a production line and more of a conducive place to work. And productivity shot through the roof. It went white up. About a year or so later, when they'd forgotten all about it and decided to do something else, a crew went in there and took everything away again. And productivity went up again.
It was the change.
It was people from management changing things and paying attention to you. And it didn't really even matter which way it went. It's just, you know, they just felt like at least someone was paying attention to them. Whether they were taking it away or giving it was fairly immaterial.
But the other aspect of it also is that if you value your staff and they stay with you and productivity increases, that's great. But for you as an employer, it's great because actually, if you spend a little bit of money on it, it could save you a lot of money in the long run by people leaving. So, you know, it may have cost them money to put these cushions in and all the rest of it, but their productivity went up as a result. You know, it's
absolutely. It's it never ceases to amaze me how people try and scrimp and save on things like that. It's just a false economy all the way down the line. But I'm fascinated by what you do because it's it's almost a treble whammy that you're bringing to what people are doing because you're looking at their productivity as well, aren't you?
Yeah.
So when you go in, it's not just training, it's not just developing staff and making them feel better. You're actually going, do you know what, your processes don't work or the process, exactly, you know, your processes, you could be far more productive if you just changed your processes without even getting round to the training. You know, it's just having a fresh eye to look at the way that you're using things and how you're using things
and starting by mapping processes. It sounds boring and it sounds over the over
it can't be
just but it's bad processes. People hate the word process. But I years and years ago I worked for an insurance company and there was a relocation
just the word
project.
Insurance
yeah
I fell asleep there, sorry Tracy, you work where
but there was a relocation project and we had to move the operations to a different area and there was a lot involved. But we started off by mapping the processes of each team. And when you map those processes, you can straight away spot where you can make efficiencies before you move. And it leads on from there. You know, you map the processes, then you know what you've got to train, who does what, you understand your organisation a bit better. And, you know, so often you hear people say, oh, that person's no good at their job, or are they no good at their job? Or have you not given them the tools to be good at their job? Have you not supported them to be good at their job? And I always use as an example, my both my sons, who are now in their 30s, went down different paths, but they both did and we were talking about this earlier, Ramsey, it wasn't called an apprenticeship. I can't remember what it was called because it was a while ago now, but they both started off and My younger son was working for an insurance company and it was similar to an apprenticeship, but I can't remember the name of it at the time. But it gave him a feel for learning the insurance industry on the job whilst, you know, trying to work out at that age, you know, is this what I want to do as a career and everything. And he now has a job in the city for a huge global insurance company. He's doing really, really well. And that all stemmed from that very, very first going in as a young person and being mentored and introduced to that industry. And he had an absolutely phenomenal boss. His boss, he said to me one day, I want to go to London, Mum. That's where the jobs are in insurance. So I thought, yeah, yeah. So off he went. And I thought, this will last 5 minutes. But no, he had this boss who mentored him and nurtured him and got him the skills to get where he is now.
Sure, yeah.
So I and my other son went down a similar path, and he started off working for my dad, who's an engineer, had his own business, and he trained him on the tools, as it were.
Mm.
And he doesn't actually do the same job now, but in that same field. So like you were saying earlier about the engineering, property maintenance opportunities, you know, you learn the trade, and then you think, well, actually, there's another angle of this, another aspect, and you can progress on.
Absolutely. These pathways.
Yeah.
And as Ramsay said, there's an awful lot of, I've seen an awful lot of building work going on around Rochester, Chatham, around there. A lot of RSJs going up, Ramsay.
Yes, Jules.
Yeah.
Indeed.
I've seen them.
Have they got the torsional strength, though?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
Tensile.
Tensile strength. Yeah, oh, blimey. Well. Both directions. Yeah. But you're absolutely right. And with my work with young people talking about things like that, it's one of the things that I try as hard as I can to get people to understand. When you start to ask people about what they want to do for a living, one, there's no way an average 17-year-old will know. Yes, so they'll tell you the same thing. I want to be a footballer or a rock guitarist or whatever, because they're the only things they know. They've no experience of anything. But outside of that, there's no reason why they should know anyway, because the pace of change now is such that you do not know what you will be doing, no matter what field you choose to work in. You might know, I want to be an actuary, yeah? But you don't know what the job of an actuary will be like in 10 years' time or 5 years' time, because the things change so drastically and rapidly nowadays. So basically, getting a basic understanding of an industry is fundamental, and then how you grow from that is kind of open to being open to what you're looking at. Yeah. And life, more than ever now, is about constant learning.
Yeah, exactly. And people want to grow. People want to develop. They want to grow. It's human nature.
Mm.
And you need to feed that.
Yeah.
There is a cost involved, obviously, in training.
Mm.
But, you know, I've written some articles about this, and they're on our website under the blog section. But I think if you don't train your staff, your staff aren't going to grow, your organisation is going to prosper as much as if you invest that time and money into training.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've all worked for companies where they send you on a training course for something and you think, why did I even go for that? It's nothing. But it's not about going on a training course. What I do, it's working with a company and tailoring that to that their setup, their processes, their systems, and working with the people and the experts in each of their jobs and helping them to create something that they can keep and maintain and then just tweak it as they go forward and things change.
And it's about the interest from the people they're working with. We find a big determinant in whether somebody moves into an apprenticeship and then stays there. It's the support and the happiness and excitement they feel in the first year or two.
Absolutely.
You know, you can put anybody off anything if the people round about you don't support you and don't encourage you.
Yeah.
So that's a big element of apprenticeship success as well.
Yeah.
You know, employers supporting, friends supporting,
and
the sort of stuff you're doing, Tracy.
Yeah, absolutely. Tracy, so if people want to find out more about the work that you do in travel, what's the best way to do that?
Well, they can contact us. They can give us a call on 07706 762 136, or they can go to our website, which is www.travel-international.co.uk.
Fantastic. And you were saying you got some blogs on there as well, and informational type things.
Yeah, we've got some blogs all about internal training programs and some tips on how to set them up. And
so that's going to be worth a read. So if you're working in HR or management and you want to know a little bit about the processes that Travel use to encourage your staff, check out the website, check out the blogs, have a look.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Tracy, thank you so much for that. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you again. Send our regards to Volker. We miss him. He was here last time. not that we mind having you here at all. That's fantastic. But thank you so much for that, Tracy. Do stay with us for the remaining few minutes of the show. We haven't actually got that long left. But for the moment, Tracy Bendall of Travel International, thank you so much.
Thank you.
What you got then, Jules?
How about Help Us Bridge the Gap from School and Business?
Mm-hmm.
Very apt with what we've been talking about.
Yep.
As business owner managers join us at the FSB Kent to inspire the next generation of talent, the next event will be Hillview Tunbridge, 13th of March. I don't know what Hillview Tunbridge is.
It's a girls' school. Hillview Girls' School in Tunbridge.
Thank you. That is the 13th of March. Mm-hmm. There's another one at Haysbrook School in Tunbridge, which is the 28th of March. Mm. The details are on kentbusinessradio.co.uk/30-30 for details of Bridging the Gap.
That's the programme I was talking about earlier, where we take up to 30 businesses into a school for a couple of hours. It's all free. Sometimes we even get lunch.
School dinners.
Toad
in the hole.
Gypsy tart.
Custard.
Pink custard. We take up to 30 businesses into a school, and we talk to 30 A-level students. We do a workshop for the students, normally on how to present themselves both in dress and in writing, and how to be interviewed. And whilst they're doing that, the employers hear from someone, maybe KCC on apprenticeships or the creative guilds, or we've had LinkedIn talking about the power of LinkedIn for business. So the businesses hear a workshop on business related matters, and then we bring the two groups together for speed networking, where the students can interview all of the businesses and ask them about their area of work, their the type of skills that they need, the type of opportunities that exist in those companies, and vice versa. And one of the things we say to our employers is it's as much a chance to find out what young people want from the world as work as it is for you to tell them what you want from employees. Because one of the things that throws people, especially older business owners, is the what they consider a change of attitude amongst the younger generation. But what they don't understand is the younger generation have kind of been brought up in a different world, in a different technical world. And you get so many young people go, you mean I've got to start work at 8 o'clock? I don't get up till 10. What are you talking about? But what employers don't realise is that we're now connected by an umbilical cord, which is called a mobile phone.
It's only me sending you a Tracy's video.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
I'm sending it. He's declined it.
Because I couldn't see what it was. I thought it was someone ringing me. So send it again. Send it again.
I do it every show.
And that's exactly what happens, isn't it? You can't get away from technology. And therefore, your phone goes off with work emails and work messages at 11 o'clock at night.
Do you know what?
So the whole pattern of work has changed.
Interrupting rudely, my new husband, I have, quite a few rows with him about it because he's getting WhatsApps all weekend, all night, everything, because we're a global business and different time zones and things. But people now, businesses are now on WhatsApp with us.
Yeah.
And we just get them constantly because WhatsApp used to be for family, didn't it? A little chat with them. But no, our clients are all doing it.
Yeah.
And I say to Gav, you have to switch off sometime because it's just constant.
But it doesn't happen. Yeah. That's the problem, is it's really hard to switch off your technology because you need it for other things, like family.
Yeah.
And you can't, so.
I think two phones, actually, for us, is becoming more important.
But the point I'm making for young people entering the world of work and what employers have to recognise is that young people's work preferences are based on flexibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we live in a more flexible society now.
Well, something that Softcat do, Shay, our youngest, is at Softcat from Muni. He wanted to be a detective and he did criminology. So talking about how they're going to different fields. He went out with the Essex Police as part of his third year and it put him off for life seeing the Essex girls fighting on a Friday night with clumps of hair. Where the famous thing was he was in the van with the police and this girl said, my boyfriend beat me up. And that's him there to our son who was with the police, complete made up, she had clumps of hair in her hand. And so he didn't go into being a detective, which was what he wanted, although it's still his dream. And he went to work for Softcat and he's working as a sales team. And the training was fabulous, 3 weeks of training. And he's out there now. But they do a scheme where he can go to the gym in his lunch hour. So he's allowed to do that and he's supposed to then get in half an hour earlier in the morning or something like that. But it's a nice flexibility to do that. He gets time to go to the gym in his lunchtime. Because otherwise it's really hard. You know, you get home, it's dark. You go, leave, it's dark, you know, to motivate. But to be, oh, he's accepted. He's accepted your video, Paul Andrews.
Thank you.
Now I'm going to get Ramses accepted.
Absolutely. While you're doing that, I'm going to tell you about the Tech Expo, which is coming up later this year. It's going to be taking place at the Clive Empson Suite. That's at the Kent Event Centre at Detling at the Agricultural Ground. It's on Thursday the 26th of September, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And it's the first ever event of its kind in the southeast of England. It's a full day exhibition for business owners wanting to connect with suppliers who can help them run, build and grow their businesses using the power of technology. So it's an expo for all kinds of technology related businesses, hardware, software, services, support, consultancy. Meet with over 100 suppliers from different sectors of technology, including IT support, cyber security, software, digital marketing and online accountancy. There's five fantastic speakers and there's four interactive workshops to take place. The speakers are Brian Sutton from Microsoft, Richard Bell from cybersecurity, Ben Abbott from Voice, Will Charlesworth, who's a digital lawyer, and there's a talk by the Dale Carnegie Institute on being human in a digital world.
Wow.
So fantastic lineup of different talks. There's four interactive workshops. Registration will be open soon. There's still some exhibition space available, but not a lot. So get in there quickly. So don't miss the opportunity to showcase your brand to hundreds of decision makers, meeting face-to-face with them in a buzzing trade show environment. And you can go and find out all about it and book your trade show stand, if you so wish, by going to techexpouk.com. Techexpouk.com.
While I read this, Paul, you can accept Ramsey's video now coming along for it.
Okay.
Via technology.
Got it.
The Canterbury Business Awards, they're on the, very exciting, this, Thursday the 14th of March. They're at the lovely Broom Park Hotel. And then there's also a diary date for you, Thursday, 27th of June, the Maidstone Business Awards. This is at the Mercure Great Danes. And finally, in November, diary date, Wednesday, the 28th of November, it's the Ashford Business Awards. And they're at the Ashford International Hotel, where I frolicked with you not so long ago.
We did. We frolicked at the last one there, did we not? Back in November.
I was there with Bruce.
You were indeed. Yeah.
And the telephone people.
Yeah, yeah.
Remind me.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on. What are they called?
I can't remember.
We do know them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't remember what they're called.
You use them for your phone, I'm sure. It will come to us.
Mm.
Yeah, and you never forget anything because you've got a memory like an elephant.
Mm. You mean Claire Burrows?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I mean, anyway, I'll tell you after.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tweet it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a great award.
It was a good evening, yes. Good evening. Yeah, it was.
Awards.
Yeah. And there's, I mean, the Canterbury Awards are closed now, so the 14th of March is just the awards dinner, but the other two awards are open for nominations.
Agilis Mobile.
Oh, Agilis. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah. The mobile phone company. I thought you meant call centre when you were doing that. Yeah, Agilis Mobile, who are the platinum sponsors for the awards. Yes,
fabulous
indeed.
Fabulous event that was.
Yeah. Mm. Absolutely. I'm getting messages all over the place now.
Not me.
Yeah. No, it was Agilis. I've got a message that says Agilis.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Amanda.
Yeah. Thank you, Amanda. Someone's listening.
Yeah.
And on the ball.
Probably your mum, Betty. She's probably listening.
My mum actually does listen occasionally.
Yeah. Hello, Betty.
When I go and see her, she goes, "You did go on sometimes, don't you? Don't we shut up and let them get a word in?"
She said that to me at your last bash.
Did she?
You know, about you and me.
Yeah.
And we ramble on a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Because my mum don't ramble. She's 90. She's straight to the point, mate. She doesn't mess about.
I know.
Yeah. Women in Business. There's a lunch at Chilston Park Hotel on Wednesday the 3rd of April, 11:15 to 2:30. And the speakers are Belinda Collins and Katie Day. If you want to find out more or to book your place, go to kentwomeninbusiness.co.uk. Talking of Chilston Park, for those that want, the lovely folks at Athelbrae, and I'm sure I had a tweet from Athelbrae,
yeah,
but
there was
I can't
one
find
earlier.
It.
I saw it.
Did you read it?
No, I didn't.
While I'm telling you this, could you see if you could find it? Because I did see a tweet from them, and I looked for it, and I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
But the lovely folks at Athelbrae, Kate and Keith, have organised a charity quiz night on behalf of bladder cancer, and that's taking place on the 4th of April, 6 p.m. at Chilston Park. Now, it's really cheap. It's only 25 quid for a table of between 6 and 8. And I tell you, you will need 8 because the bunker have entered a team and we will win. Yeah. So you need at least 8 people to stand any chance whatsoever of getting anywhere near us.
Actually, Kate DM'd me to see if I was on the bunker table, and I said I hadn't been asked.
No.
No,
I went for brains.
Yeah, she was a bit shocked. Well, it depends what the era is, doesn't it? What the questions are. I mean, you get me on music.
You can come if you want. I've got 2 spare places.
Not if it's the Gorillaz.
No. I've already paid for it, so there's no cost.
You know me so well.
You can come. There's 2 spare places.
I'm not answering you because I'm doing the first thing you asked.
Yeah, you're looking for the tweet from Athelbrae. Just look up Athelbrae, you'll find a tweet, won't you? Okay, get on with it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, while you're doing that, I want to tell you about a couple of other things that are coming up. There's the Ashford Invicta Singers.
They
proudly present a concert in aid of CARM, CARM. And CARM is a charity out on the marsh that supports older people in rural areas. It's a charity that deals with old people that are isolated or living in rural communities that don't get enough contact with other people. Yeah, so CARM help with that. And the Ashford Invicta Singers are staging a concert which is going to be held at St Mildred's Church, which is in Tenterton, and that's in Tenterton High Street. It's a gorgeous church. And it's taking place on Saturday the 23rd of March at 7:30 p.m. in the evening. The tickets are just £10, and that includes refreshments. And they're available from CARM, and you can call them on Ashford, which is 01233 758 122, or you can just turn up at St Mildred's Church and pay on the door.
That sounds lovely. And I was thinking that my mum, when my dad died, sadly, Victor, my mum was left on her own after being with him for 64 years, and she's now 88. We joined her with the Whitstable, a club for elderly and the stuff that goes on there. But there's never anything that goes on at weekends and very rarely in the evening. And, you know, she's sitting on her own in the evening and weekends unless I pop round and that. Very, very difficult for elderly. And, in fact, I had an oven cleaner around yesterday. Hello, Alan, if you're listening. And he gave me his cookbook as well. And he said...
Is he still locked in your cupboard?
Probably, yeah. So is Billy Dean. But he said to me that a lot of elderly customers have him round just for the chat. And he has tea and biscuits with them. And he says, oh, I better get going now for work. And they say, oh, no, don't worry about that. Just stay and chat.
Yeah.
And they're actually using the tradesmen and that for company.
Yeah. Yep.
Sure. Which is, you know, terrible. Yeah.
Did you find a tweet?
Yes, I have.
Well done.
Athelbrae. So there quite a few things, actually. First of all, they say the spring Getting to Grips with Management programme starts on the 20th of March at Chilston Park. Over 30 managers have been through the training to date, and all feedback, how effective and impactful it's been on their management courses and journey. Places are still available, and they say, please telephone. So I'm going to read out a telephone number. I'm gabbling. Have we got time?
Yeah, if you're really quick.
Okay, so it's pen ready, people. 01-892-832059. That's 01-892-832059. And that is on the 20th of March at Chilston Park, Getting to Grips with Management. They also say Tuesday training tip, Paul Andrews. You did ask.
Here you go.
Presentations, engaging your audience is the principle behind any presentation, and avoiding death by PowerPoint is key. Avoid just reading off the slides. They are there to enhance your delivery. People are there to hear what you have to say. And also, they said it's Shrove Tuesday, everybody. An opportunity to enjoy some indulgence before the restrictions of Lent. Have you any plans to do without something for 40 days? Sometimes taking time to do without something gives you clarity on what is important. Enjoy your pancake day.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. It just leaves me time to tell you about one more event that we've got coming up, which is the Kent Supported Employment event. And it's an employability event taking place on the 20th of March, 9:30 until 1 at County Hall in Maidstone. It's entirely free, and you are invited to find out how businesses in Kent are benefiting from the pool of talent of people with autism and sensory disabilities. Hear from the forerunners in business on their experiences of employing people with autism and sensory impairment, how it can benefit you, and how Kent Supported Employment can support you to become a more inclusive employer. There'll be presentations from Microsoft, the education people, Ronnie Wilson MBE from First Step Trust, Paul Andrews, that'll be me, and from people with a disability who are in employment. It's a fantastic event. We run it annually. we've decided to specialise in one area of supported needs this year. Last year, we just covered the whole range of supported needs, but we decided to cover specifically autism and sensory disabilities. And the next event, we'll cover another set of supported needs. And it's a fabulous opportunity to come along and hear the difference that it's made to people who have managed to get themselves work. But not only that, it's to hear from employers about how talented some of these young people are, yeah, with their supported needs. And it's also an opportunity to find out there's nothing to be scared of.
Kind of ties in with the Scoff and Quaff show earlier with my guest, doesn't it? Lily's Bistro in Canterbury.
Yeah, absolutely. So it come along. You've only just got to sit there. You're going to get a free lunch. It's totally free. The lunch is good. Trust me on this. And you're just going to hear some really uplifting stories from both employees and employers, and that's all you got to do is sit and listen. It's a great event. We had 50 companies there last year, so do come along. It's on the 20th of March at County Hall. Just to let us know that you're coming, if you could email thomas.lovell, L-O-V-E-L-L, at theeducationpeople.org and let him know that you're coming. But that brings us to the end of another show. It's just to let you know that our sister show, The Business Bunker Show, on Friday at 11 o'clock this week, is presented by me, and my co-host is the lovely Mr. Mark Goldfinch, and our guest is Soti Coker, who is the winner of the Speakers platform and is working his way towards becoming a professional speaker on the international speaking circuit. So do tune in 11 o'clock on Friday for the Business Bunker Extra Show. Hope you all enjoy International Women's Day on Friday too. But a
pancake
big
day.
Yeah. Enjoy your pancakes this evening with lemon or jam or however you take them, Marmite. That's my favourite.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no. Pancakes with Marmite.
Quite like a bacon pancake, actually.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. I want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsors, the lovely folks at ZC Social Media and the ZC Live event. But the biggest thank you goes to our two guests today. Yeah, Mr. Ramsey Cowan of IPS International and Tracy Bendel of Travel International. Thank you so much for being with us.
And to Zoe. Zoe Cairns.
I just did that.
Did you?
Yeah.
And clapping.
Yeah, you were clapping at the time. And a big thank you to my co-host, Joe Serkin. We'll be back next week with another Business Bunker show. In the interim, have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.